After that introduction, I can't wait to hear what I have to say either. At the risk of sounding like Geimlin, he was so nice to me, I have to return the favor. You know, I've been a Rebbe in Yeshiva Kanaina Hara for 37 years. Ken Yerbu. And one thing I've learned over the years is that you can never tell which Talmud you'll have. You can usually never tell which Talmud you will have nachas from, which Talmud will meet your expectations, which Talmud will disappoint you. The rule of thumb is you never know. However, there are notable exceptions to that rule. And Hirsch Kamerow is one of those exceptions to that rule. You know, if you'll pardon a football analogy, you know, when you're drafting a player, there are certain players that are can't-miss players. You know, this person's going to be a superstar. Hirsch was one of those people. Can't miss. This person is going to go on to accomplish great things. And as you know better, as you members of this Silver Spring community know better than I, that is indeed the truth. Since he's left the yeshiva professionally, communally, familially, in every aspect of life, he has he's made a tremendous, tremendous impact. And this Tirshu Siyum, which he and Rabbi Rangold are the driving forces, is just an example of a very, very illustrious career that he and his wife should continue for many, many years to come and have much nachas from their children and Mitzvah Hashem, their grandchildren. Bishus, Rabbanei Ha'ir, Ronan V'Rabbanei V'Abaisai, ladies and gentlemen, several weeks ago, you may have read that a Gadol B'Yisrael of Zundel Kreuzer was nifter. He was an amazing person, not so well known as perhaps others, but nevertheless an amazing person in his own right. He once visited the doctor, and the doctor told him that he has to take, he has to test him further, he has to take an important test the next day. So Zundel came home, told his family that he has to undergo a serious test tomorrow, and there he wants the test to come out as good as can be, and therefore he wants to learn a mesechta through the night and make a siyum the very next morning on that mesechta. So he told his family, get me a Gemara Bava Basra. For those of you who don't know, Bava Basra is the longest mesechta in Shas, 175 blot. That's not the type of mesechta that most people learn overnight. But he did. He learned it. He finished it. Made a siyum. And Baruch Hashem, the test turned out all right, and he lived for many years after that. At that siyum, he said the following comment. When we make a siyum on a mesechta, which you just did, the lashon of the siyum is Kashemis Azartani Lasayim Mesechta Erevin Kain Tazreini Lahaskul Lasayim Mesechta Sesvar Macherim. And if you think about that one phrase, Kashemis Azartani Lasayim Kain Tazreini Lahaskul Lasayim, there is a certain incongruousness between the two sentences. You should either say Kishem Shazatani Lasayim Kain Tazreni Lasayim, or Kishem Shazatani Lahaskal Lasayim Kain Tazreni Lahaskal Lasayim. But Kishem Shazatani Lasayim, just like you helped me finish, Kain Tazreni Lahaskal Lasayim, to start and to finish, there's something inconsistent about that. So Reb Zundel said, he says, when a person starts a Mesechta, the Yetzirah and the Satan doesn't really get all upset or nervous. Because many people start Mesechtas, but a lot of them never finish. So therefore the Satan says, I don't have to, you know, let these people start. They'll start, they'll fall by the wayside with the passage of time. But when a person, when the Yetzirah sees that a person not only finishes, starts a Masechta, but finishes a Masechta, then the Ezer says, this guy is serious. And therefore I have to put up a battle to sort of derail him. So that's the Lashon. K'shem shazartani l'sayim Masechta zu. I've been able, fortunate, with Siyata Dishmaya to finish this Masechta. But now I need special Siyata Dishmaya. I need heaven's help to not only to, but to begin again. Because the Satan is going to put up a fight because he sees how serious we are. I can only imagine what the Yetzirah and the Satan thinks about this dear Shuchabura. And how, because he sees how serious you bought about your learning. The fact that you participate in the Dirshu program. The fact that you chazer and review. And you take bechinas. You take tests. Is a testament not only to your learning. But to your amelus in Torah. Not only just turning pages. But how you work. And you shvitz. A word that we use in yeshiva, and you harava, and you toil over learning, and that is indeed a very, very unique and important thing. Many of us are familiar with the Rashi in Parshas Bechukesai. In Bechukesai Teilechu, Ves Mitzvesai Tishmeru Vasisa Maisom. So Rashi makes the famous comment. And Bechukesai Teilechu Shetiyu Ameilim Batera. That expression, Bechukesai Teilechu, refers specifically to Ameilus Batera, learning and learning with sweat and toil and tears. But if you think about it, that's not the first drosha that would come to mind. Because we all know that the word chayk, chukim, implies mitzvahs that we do not understand the reason for them. Shatnes, Chazer, Macholas Asureis, Paraduma, those are chukim. They're beyond human comprehension. We don't know why. So if I had to explain, write a Perish and Chumash, and I would say, B'chukaisai Teilechu, I would not pick Shetiyu Amelim Batera. I would say this is referring to keeping the chukim, keeping those things that we don't understand. But learning, of all things, learning is something that's rational. Something that we understand. It is an intellectual pursuit. Why then does the Torah refer to Bechukesai Teilechu of Tiyu Ameilim Batera? It's not what one would come to mind when you're trying to explain what chukim, walking in the chukim. Reb Simcha Zisel Brody Zecher Tzadik Livrocha, the Chevron of Yeshiva, once said pshat in this chazal. He says, yes, learning is a rational and understandable pursuit. But what learning does to an individual and the transformative powers that learning does to a human being, that's a chayk. That's something that is beyond human comprehension. Or as he puts it, Mashiyesh b'teira skulai shiroyma meisu megadlei seslem deah. The Torah changes the person. He elevates the person, transforms the person. That's not rational. There is no area of intellectual pursuit, be it mathematics, chemistry, physics, biology, English, literature, philosophy, no matter what endeavor you may choose, but it doesn't change the person. The person doesn't become a better person. It doesn't elevate him. It doesn't transform him. There are people that are perhaps Nobel laureates, the greatest in their field, but doesn't change them. They could still be amoral, immoral people. But Torah is different. Torah does something to the human being. It makes him into a better person. It elevates him. And that transformative power of Torah, that's a chayk. That's not something that you can rationally explain. Truth be told, the Chazon Ish writes the same thing. Aval ha'omol hazeh hu omol ha'tera asher kol skules limud ha'tera nemar ala mola. This power It doesn't necessarily happen just by merely learning superficially, by turning pages. But when you're omel in Torah and you work in Torah, and we look at the people that this they personified this. When you think about a Rav Moshe Feinstein, or a Rav Eliashiv, or a Chazon Ish, and the sterling people that they were, men of sterling character. You ask, how did that happen? It happened because they were omel in Torah. They didn't just learn, but Torah was their life's work and their passion. Chaim Volozhiner writes that Shemati Mipiv HaKadosh Agro, Reb Chaim Volozhiner, the preeminent premier Talmud of the Goyen, writes that Pomim Rabbis Yishkimu Lepischei Kama Magidim in Hashemayim B'Sheilosam Uvakoshasam Limser Loi Rosen Deraisa, that the Goyen said that he was visited by Malachim, by angels, who wanted to give him the Sisrei Torah, the secrets of Torah. Let us tell you. And the guy said, no. I want to work it out myself. I want to be omel in Torah. That's the power of Torah. And don't get me wrong. I'm not here to denigrate or to knock any type of learning. Every type of learning is immeasurably important. Whether it's Ian, whether it's Bekiyas, whether it's Chumash, whether it's Nach, whether it's Gemara, with Ashkafa, whatever it may be. But there's nothing that comes to the Amelis Bateira. What you people have done over here, learning Seder Mayed, and Chazering it, and taking Bechinas on it, and knowing it. That's the gold standard. And for that you must be very, very proud of yourselves, and your wives must be extremely proud of you. Because it's not easy. You know, I have a luxury. I get paid to learn. Not that much. But I get paid to learn. That's what I do. I teach. But to spend a whole day in whatever pursuit you do, whether it's law or business or medicine or whatever it may be, and then to come home and not just yaitse with a daf yomi, but to learn and to try to understand it and to know it and to chazer it and to get tested on it. That's the gold standard. You know, the Taz writes in Hilchus Birchas HaTorah, the bracha of Birchas HaTorah is Asher Kedishanu B'mitzvei Sovet Tzivonu La'asek B'divrei Torah. So Taz asks, why does the Chachomim pick that word, La'asek B'divrei Torah? That's not the first word that would come to mind. If I had to coin the nusach of that bracha, I would say Asher Kedishanu L'Lomay Torah. What's La'asek B'divrei Torah? So the Taz writes and he says that word lasek has the connotation of derech omol v'yegiya she'asek bepilpul maso matan shel Torah. You know, in Yiddish we have an expression, "Sis a ganze asek." What's an asek? An asek is a geschichte. What's a geschichte? I don't know what a geschichte is, but you get my drift. But that's what La'asek B'divrei Torah means. Not just to turn the pages, but to be Isaac Ba'omol V'Yegiyah. That's what this Chabur is about. It wasn't always like that. You know, the Navi Amos, talked about a period in Klal Yisrael that this was not the case. You know, there's one pasuk that probably many of you know from Amos. It may be the only pasuk that you know from Amos. And that's because it's a song. And Amos was lucky enough that they made a song out of one of his psukim. But it's one of the most misunderstood psukim in all of Tanakh. Hinei yomim boim nu Hashem vishlachti rov ba'aretz. Leirov la'alechem leitzam alamayim kim lishmayas divrei Hashem. Behold, days are coming, and there will be a famine in the land. There will be a thirst, but not a famine for bread, and not a thirst for water. Kim lishmayas divrei Hashem. Everybody thinks that's a great nevuah. It's a great prediction. People will starving for Torah. Great. But that's not how the Gemara understands that pasuk. It's the opposite. Tanu rabbanan kishenichnasu Rabbi Seinu lekerem biyavo amru asida teresh etishtachach mi Yisrael. That pasuk is referring that there will come a period that there will be such a paucity of learning that, as the Panovich Rav once said, when people are starving, they're satisfied with a piece of bread. And when people are thirsty, the sip of water will do. That's the type of the period that the Navi's talking about. And people will just be satisfied with miyadevos, epis, anything. Not good news. It's bad news. That's what the Navi was talking about. I don't know what the average age in this room is, but that prediction the Navi talked about was America in the first part of the 20th century. That's the America in which I grew up in. It was the America in which, if you learned as a balabas, that means you went to the rabbi's Gemara Shir, which was held once a week at night. That was your learning. That's the way it was as a child growing up. That's what I remember. The rabbi's Wednesday night Gemara Shir. And the rest of the nights of the week, you came home and you watched I Love Lucy and Dick Van Dyke. But that was it. The standard of halacha in a Jewish household circa 1950 and 60 was the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch. And if you didn't understand Hebrew, there was Rabbi Golden's translation of the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch called the Code of Jewish Law. A Mishnah Brura? Who had a Mishnah Brura? When I got for a bar mitzvah present, I got a Mishnah Brura. I didn't know what it was. I did not know what it was. Today that's no longer the case. A generation was raised that went to yeshivas and demanded more. And once a week in Marashir won't cut it anymore. And even a regular Mishnah Brura doesn't cut it. We need the Dirsha Mishnah Brura, which is a great, great, great sefer. It's an invaluable sefer to me. That's who you people are. People that are no longer satisfied with a piece of bread and a sip of water. And a part of Amelis Batera, and which is really perhaps one of the most important facets of the Dirshu program, is Chazorah. Chazoring. Which is not the most gishmaka things at first glance, but it really is. It's nothing like learning from Gemara and chazoring it and knowing it. Now, Reb Chaim Volozhiner, again, premier Talmud of the Gaon, writes that when he was 19 years old, he came to the Gaon, the Grami Vilna. He says, Chazarti Seder Moed Yud Dalet Po'amim V'adayin Enem Mechudodin Mechuvarin Befi. I chazard Seder Moed 14 times. That's what you just finished. Seder Moed. He learned it, chazed it 14 times, and he complained to the Gaon that he still doesn't have it clearly. You know what the Gaon told him? Hey, Shiv Hagra, Bederach Tema. The Gaon said to him, Mi Yud Dalad Pomim Birzoincha Shiyu Mechuvor and Etzlecha? For 14 times you wanted to know Klar? Try 114. Now, somebody recently came to Reb Chaim Kanievsky, so Gesutten Stark sein, and he asked him for a bracha, for memory, for a good memory, because he doesn't remember his learning. So Reb Chaim said to him, did you chazer it 40 times? If you chazer it 40 times and you still don't remember it, then see me. Then you need a bracha. You don't need a bracha. How do you expect it to remember it? For 40 times? Less than 40? And that's why Chazal tell us that David HaMelech asked for a special bakasha that he should be able to chazer and that the Yetzer Hara shouldn't derail him. The Sifri says on the Pasuk, Sa'adeni v'iva Sheya, says the Sifri, Shaloi ehe loimed Torah v'sheicheach, Shaloi ehe loimed v'yetzer hara enoi mi'aniach li'lashanes. David HaMelech as for siyata d'shmaya, they should be able to chazer. So the Yetzer, because he knows the Yetzer Hara, that's where he makes the shtelung, that's where he makes the battle. But the good news is, as the Gemara tells us in Erevin, like you just finished, the more you chazer, the more gishmak it becomes. That's what the Gemara says. My dechsev neitzer teina yechal piri olama nimshul divrei terek kiteina mateina kolzman shadam emashmesh ba meitzi ba teinim af divrei tera kolzman shadam haiga behen meitzim tam. The more you chazer, the more insight you see, and the more gishmak it becomes. The Yetzer Hara doesn't want to let that happen. And I don't know if this is true. It's my own comment. But Torah is compared to a song. Ata kisvu lachem es hashira hazeis. It's something that I've thought about a lot and I have not figured it out. And it's something that bothers me personally. Why is it that the more you hear a song, the more you like it? And when you hear a song the first time, you hear a niggin, nope. But you hear it again, you like it more. When people come, musicians come, they come to give concerts, what do you want to hear? You want to hear the old nigunim. That's what everybody wants. Yeah. Play the nigun that we know. I'm a darshan. People don't want to hear the old Torah. They want to hear the old stuff. We heard that word already. I mean, I just envy these guys. They come in and they sing Lulei Sarascha. They sing the same thing over again. Everybody, oh, it's beautiful. I have to say Torah, I have to prepare every time new. Takes time. I mean, I've thought about it. I mean, I'm not a musician. Hirschgrad, a musician. But I think Mitzchus said the brain likes the sequence of one note following the other. I mean, I don't know Shaykhus to music, but I don't know what the theory. But that's a fact. People like to hear the Alta Nigunim, but they don't like to hear the Alta Torah. Ata kisel chemes hashira zeis. In that respect, Torah is like a shira. One of the most amazing facts, Ha'oris, most moving comment that I saw concerning learning Ba'amelis, is a letter that the Chofetz Chaim wrote to the son of Rav Aram Elia Kaplan, who was from the Gedolei Talmidim Slabodka. The Chofetz Chaim said on the Pasuk, Va'amech kulam tzadikim lo'olam yirshu oretz netzer matoai maisi yodai lehispoer. Chofetz Chaim said there are two types of people. There are netzer matoai. Yesh anoshim shem b'chal netzer matoai. They're the vineyard of the Ribbonishon. But says the Chofetz Chaim, there's a different category of people. They aren't merely Netzer Matoi, but they're Maisei Yodai Lehispoyer. Says the Chofetz Chaim, Shakodesh Baruch Hu Mispoyer Bahem Lamaila V'Oimer Mur'u Maisei Yodai Shebayrosi Ba'olamai. Look at my people. The Ribbono Shel Olam is sitting in Shamayim and he's looking down at Silver Spring, Maryland, at this Siyim. And he's telling the Malachim, you see these people? These are my kinderlach. You see what they've done? See what they've accomplished? Maisi Yodali Aspire. I'm inspired by him. I'm proud of them. That's what the Chofetz Chaim writes about you. Maisi Yodai Lehispoyer. Chofetz Chaim wrote this. Can only imagine. It was Nifter 1933. I don't think he wrote this on his deathbed. So he wrote this maybe 90, 100 years ago, if not more. About people who learn and how they horav in learning, how they work in learning, and what kind of nachas the Ribbono Shel Olam has in them. That was 100 years ago. 100 years ago, life was tough. Everything was tough. I'm not talking about the conveniences of cell phones and things like that. I'm talking about running water, indoor plumbing, electricity. I'm talking about making a living. I know you work hard, but you don't work manual labor for hours a day and get peanuts. People lived under oppressive governments that at any moment they could turn against them. Life was schwer. Life held by a tenuous string in every area of life. It's tough. And learning was tough also. They had to do it because everything was tough. Nobody complained. Today we live in a different society. Everything is easy. But I know you work hard. I know you have the burdens of tuition. I know that. But life is easy. With all its conveniences. Just look at Jewish magazines. And see what's available to you. From sushi. To Wagyu beef. I don't even know what Wagyu beef is. But kol mini matamim. You know, Pesach is schwer. Go away from Pesach. Vacations are difficult. Go away to, you know, kosher vacations. Now, I shouldn't talk, actually. Because I'm guilty of that. But as a kid, I remember when we used to go away on vacation, my mother, Allah Shalom, had to schlep pots. That was a vacation. Today, it's mamish. Everything is easy. You look at the periodicals. They talk about the no-hassle sukkah. The sukkah that goes up in less than 5 minutes or your money back. You know, my Rashiva, a Ruderman, told me that he remembers his father trying to put up a sukkah. He'd put up the sukkah, it would stand for 3 minutes, and then it would collapse. And then he would have to put it up again and again. And if the Rashiva's father was anything like the Rashiva, I can understand that. Everything is easy. You own kaporis? I kid you not. I could not make this up. Today you can get the chicken coming complete with diaper. It's chas v'shalom. Lo aleinu. The best part about living in America in the 21st century is that life is easy. The worst part about living in America in the 21st century is that life is easy. And everything is easy. But that's why sometimes our Yiddishkeit feels somewhat lacking. Because the only way you feel passionate about something or you love something is by sacrifice. Sacrifice engenders commitment. You gotta give. And that's why sometimes our Yiddishkeit just doesn't have that. Because we don't work for it. We're not meiser nefesh for it. That's what we must do with our Yiddishkeit. We have to pick an area that's hard. It's not easy. That's how you can be committed to Yiddishkeit, to anything. If you're old enough, remember John F. Kennedy's announcement of the announcement that America is going to try to get to the moon. And I don't quote John Kennedy all that often, but Kennedy said at that occasion, "We choose to go to the moon not because it's easy, but because it's hard." You choose Lahavdil, dear shoe, not because it's easy, but because it's hard. And you're the better for it. It's so much more meaningful. Now the Mishnah says in Ovis, Kachi darkal shel Teira, pas bamelach teicha. This is the way to acquire Teira. You have to beat a min amount of bread with a little salt, mayim b'msura tishta, a minimum of water, v'alorets tisha, and you sleep on the floor. V'chayi tzar tichya, v'teira to omel. You ever thought about that Mishnah? This is what you have to do to learn. You have to minimal amount of food, minimal amount of water, terrible, oppressing conditions, sleeping on the floor. If you do this, then you'll be happy. Why does the Mishnah have to say, Im ata oisekein? It just said what the formula is. This is what you got to do. Little bread, little water, sleep on the floor. What's the imata isekein? The answer is that if you try to sell something to somebody, you tell them, you know what? You know what you got to do for success? Bread and water and sleeping on the floor. Who needs that? That's a sales pitch? Zok the Mishnah. No, that's not the sales pitch. You're not going to get anybody. But if you do that, and you horov, and you schwitz, and you put your kishkes into it, then you see the sweetness of Torah. And then you see imata oisekein. Ashrach ba'olam hazeh v'tayloch ha'olam habah. Don't take my word for it. I haven't learned Seder Ma'id like you've learned Seder Ma'id. I have not taken Bechinas on Seder Ma'id. But you have. Ask any one of these people. And they'll tell you. It's Ashrecha Ba'ilam Azeh. Tov L'Cha Olam Abba. It's good in this world and it's good in the next world. There are very few things in life like that. But that's limud haTorah biyegiyah, limud haTorah baomel, putting your heart and soul into it, chazering it. That's the formula. Good night.